Have you ever wondered why we don't see the same miracles today that we read about in the Bible? If so, stay tuned. Welcome to Speak to Me with Bible teacher Billy Pruitt. Today we're going to travel into the small town of Nazareth with Billy. Let's welcome him as he comes.
Today, if you will, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "And he could there do no mighty work." This is what the Lord quickened to me this week, and I want to share it with you. Our subject is unbelief. As I was thinking about this week, I was just considering the matter, and you ask, well, where are the miracles? You know, where is the power? Where are the things that we've heard of reports of the past? Where are those things happening? And then I began to think on that, and as I began to think on it, I realized that there was a time in Jesus' life that there were no miracles. There was a time in Jesus' life there was no power. And I thought, wow. And so I thought about that. He could there do no mighty work. Where's there? Well, we know the story. He went back to his hometown. Some people believe he went there twice. I think he probably went there one time. On that one occasion, he went in the synagogue. They tried to kill him. They got offended by him. And the book of Mark says, he could there do no mighty work. You see, these people knew Jesus. They were offended by him. I heard a man talk about inmates in the prison. And he said the funniest thing is occasionally one of those guys would come on a release date and get to go home. Once in a while, you know, they may have been in there 25 years, but they finally comes and they have to send them home because their sentence is officially over. They can't keep them. He said, you know, and the funniest thing is we had to catch some of them. And he went on to explain, he said, yeah, sometimes we had to catch them. And he says, what I mean by that is, you know, they were in their cell and they didn't want to come out. And we had to go in and get them out. He said, sometimes they'd stab us, punch us in the eye. I mean, whatever they could do, but they didn't want to leave that cell. They wanted to stay in that cell. Well, I mean, he says, that was their life. He says, that's what they knew. They didn't want to leave. He said, we had to go in and catch them, bring them out. That was part of his job. You see, these inmates, they're living in that place, and that becomes normal to them. It's normal for them to be 23 hours in a little cell. It's normal for them to be handcuffed to walk out of that cell. It's normal for them to be walked out and put into a cage where they can enjoy the sunlight for 1 hour and brought back to their cell where they're fed and kept and slept and all everything they do right there in that one cell. That's normal. That is their normal existence. The question is this. What if that isn't normal? Well, it's not normal, but it's normal for them, but it's not really normal. They have learned to accept that as normal, but it's really not normal. None of the rest of us would say that's normal. The rest of us would say that's way below normal. They're living way below what's normal, but they're accepting it as normal, and they're happy with it, and they're content with it. My question this morning is, what if we think of as normal isn't really normal at all? What if the normal that we have is really not normal? And today I'm going to bring to you an idea that's hopefully going to elevate our concept of normal. Because what we have as normal is probably not really normal. We're like those caged inmates sitting in a cell, and we don't want to move out of our normalcy because we're afraid of what might be out there. But at the same time, what we're living in is a cell. It's a dungeon compared to the real normal. And I'm hoping to expound to you and explain to you and share with you this morning what real normal is all about. Real normal. See, the people of Nazareth, they were totally comfortable with Jesus as a little boy. They said, hey, isn't this Joseph's son, the one of the carpenter's son? Isn't he the carpenter? Oh, yes, verse 3 in Mark. Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary? We know Joseph. We know Mary. We know James. We know his brothers. We even hear his sisters are. We know this family. We know them. They were completely comfortable with Jesus as a little boy. I don't know what Jesus did in Nazareth while he was growing up. I don't know whether he got along with the other kids or not, or whether they teased him, or why. We don't know. We don't know whether he was as normal a child as possible. He may have been. Some people may have thought, well, he's a little peculiar. You know how people do. If anybody's talented or smart, he's peculiar, you know. But anyway, Jesus was peculiar because he could go and talk to the doctors and lawyers in Jerusalem. And that's kind of funny. You know, the rest of the kids want to play. But Jesus wants to talk to the doctors and lawyers. Well, nevertheless, Jesus may have been a little peculiar, but they were fine with him, you know, as long as he wasn't healing people. As long as people weren't being raised from the dead, as long as there were no mighty works, everything was fine. As far as we know, there was never any kind of real turmoil in Nazareth. Jesus had this small little town. The people of Nazareth were comfortable with Jesus as long as he fit the mold. They were content without the miracles. They were content without the healings. They were content without visions. They were content without angelic visitations. They were fine with all of that. That's what they called normal. We want life normal. We don't want you coming in here stirring up a problem. We want life normal. But the thing is, normal changed when Jesus arrived. What had been normal was not normal anymore. Jesus came to show us a new way. We know that. The Bible tells us this. I am the way. He said, Jesus came to reveal the divine word of God to us. He was the word of God in the flesh. The word became flesh. He came to show us a new way. This is a new normal here. And we think, well, all the gospels and all of the power that was displayed in Jesus' life, and then he left and went to heaven, did he truly give us a new normal? Or did he just leave and go back to heaven so that we can continue right back into the place where we are with no miracles, no healings, no visits, visitations, no angels, no visions? Or is that normal again once he left? Was there just an excitement and Jesus' life and ministry was abnormal and the rest of the time without Jesus is normal? Or did Jesus try to set a new normal for us that stayed? Well, most people, certainly Pentecostal people, would look to the book of Acts to describe normal Christianity. If Christianity matches the book of Acts, then it's normal. And if it doesn't match the book of Acts, then it's not normal. They call it norm. This is the norm in the New Testament. They actually use that word norm. This was the norm. Well, it was the norm. Well, is it still the norm? Should it still be the norm? Yeah, I believe it should be. And if the book of Acts is in the New Testament to show us what New Testament Christianity is all about, the book of Acts is there. Christ is dead, rise from the dead, sent it back to the Father. And now it's left on the apostles to figure out what normal Christianity is going to be like. Here it is in the book of Acts. If you look at chapter 2, we have the outpouring of the 3,000. We have 3,000 people saved. If you look at Acts chapter 3, you have a crippled man. Remember the story, walking and leaping and praising God? Peter and John went to the temple. Such as I have, give I unto thee. Arise and walk. And the crippled man jumps up and begins to walk. Acts chapter 4. The disciples are in the house praying. Peter and John have just gotten out of jail. They come. They're praying in the house. Acts chapter 4, the house was shaken by the power of God. That's a mighty miracle. That's powerful. That's the work of God right there. The house was shaken. Acts chapter 5, of course, Ananias and Sapphira die. That was a mighty work. Not necessarily one that we want to try to repeat, but it was a mighty work of God. And also, that chapter was so full of miracles, Luke didn't even list them all. He just said all the people were healed. They were healed of this, and demon spirits left, and all. He just said they were all healed. He didn't even list them all. There were too many. Interestingly, in that same chapter, all the apostles wind up getting arrested and they wind up being in the prison. And an angel comes and lets them out while everybody sleeps and then locks the door back behind them. So when they get there, they find a locked door that's empty that had 12 guys in it. You know, and all of a sudden you see that. That took place in Acts chapter 5. So we have angelic visitations, we have miracles, and we have people being healed. Acts chapter 6, Stephen starts doing miracles. If you look at Acts chapter 6, you most of the time are going to get lost in the details and not notice that Stephen starts being a miracle worker in the book of Acts chapter 6. And at the end of the book, at the end of that chapter, the Bible says that his face was like the face of an angel. They saw something in his face. There was a physical manifestation of the power of God in his face. Well, that's pretty awesome. Acts chapter 7, while Stephen was dying, he has a vision. A vision of Jesus Christ standing on the right hand of the Father. Well, we don't see that was a normal thing back then. You understand? That was normal. All of these things we're mentioning, the miracles, the healings, the angels, that was all part of normal for them. They got to where they could expect it because it was just ordinary. This is ordinary Christianity. This is not super Christianity. This is not Christianity magnified to a high level. This is ordinary Christianity that we're reading about. And so what I'm trying to convince you of is that the normal that they had and the normal that we have, two normals. Acts chapter 8, revival hits Samaria. Miracles, great power. I mean, you talk about miracles. People demon-possessed are delivered. People are healed left and right. People are saved all over the place. And even the sorcerer was saved. And then the interesting thing is, get to the end of the chapter, Philip goes and leads the revival, goes talks to the Ethiopian eunuch. And at the end of that chapter, he is translated to another place. Now, you know, God's subway. Move you from here to there. Like a pawn on a chessboard. Pick you up and drop you off. Translated. Wow. You know, that's not, well, see, that's normal. We say, wow. They say, oh, okay. You see the difference? We say, really? Wow. They said, yeah, Philip, you know, he got moved. In fact, the way it's listed, the way it's just said, it says, you know, and Philip was caught away and he was found in Azotus. That's all it says. It doesn't say, wow, this guy got moved. It just says, yeah, he just was caught away and was found at another place. Move right on. Not a big deal. Chapter 9, Saul has a vision, gets knocked down on the ground. Ananias has a vision, says, go find Saul. They get together eventually. Peter, in the same chapter, heals Aeneas, who was sick for 10 years of the palsy, basically a paralyzed man. And then he raises Dorcas from the dead. All in one chapter. Just move right on. We'll go right on to the next one. You know, Peter, I think that's the same chapter. I didn't look this up. And I think that's the same chapter where he walked down the road and people were healed just by his shadow touching them as he walked past. You know, ordinary life. Just normal stuff. And chapter 10, Cornelius now, he's an unsaved man at this point in time. He sees a vision, an angel. The angel talks to him, tells him where to go and who to find. You're looking for a guy named Simon? He's going to be at a guy's house on the side of the sea. His name's, he's a tanner. Go get him. Well, okay. You know, how do you make that up? Well, anyway, during that same period of time, Peter goes into a trance. Trance. We think of trance, and that's spooky. But no, trance was normal in those days. There were several people went into trances. Peter was one of them. Paul went into a trance. We'll see that in a few minutes. And then when Peter finally goes to Cornelius' house, the Holy Spirit is outpoured. You see the tongues, total outpouring of the Spirit taking place. Mighty work. Chapter 11, Peter recalls Acts chapter 10. So chapter 11, we would not expect to see a new miracle because we're hearing about the ones that just happened. We're hearing them again. Then Agabus, at the end of that chapter, comes out and prophesies of a drought. Hey, it's going to happen. And Luke says, you know what? This did happen in the year of, and he names one of the kings. So we see this Agabus person just show up. It's kind of an interest. He's, you know, he just kind of shows up every now and again and says something, and then he's gone. You know, he says, hey, there's going to be a drought. And then he leaves the scene. He's gone. You don't hear about him. Now, for several chapters, he's gone. But there he is prophesying, and the prophecy did come to pass. There you go. Plain and simple. God moving in that chapter. That's chapter 11. Chapter 12 is a very interesting chapter. Herod is struck down there in that chapter by the power of God. That's kind of like Ananias and Sapphira again. You know, we got another one. Don't matter whether you're a king. God is not a respecter of persons. You give him glory or you die. It's really going to be that way. For some of us, it's just slower. Peter, on that same occasion, was released from jail by an angel. Angel walked in, took him out of the stocks, took him out of the chains, lifted him up, brought him out into the city. And Peter thought he was having a vision. I mean, the angel left, and Peter's standing there thinking, you know, when am I going to really wake up here, you know? But nevertheless, this was fairly normal. He went on to tell the people, he says, yeah, I'm out of jail, and I'm leaving town now. It's time for me to go. But nevertheless, angelic visitation in chapter 12. Chapter 13, Paul strikes a man blind. The man was perverting the right ways of God, and Paul says, you're going to be blind for a season. Pow! Blind. He had to be led out by the hand. Well, that's one way to handle the adversary. But anyway, you see the power of God demonstrated in the life of Paul in that chapter, chapter 13. Now, there was other things that happened, but I'm just mentioning a few here. Chapter 14, Paul heals a crippled man. That was the time that the man was impotent in his feet, and Paul healed him. And they were so amazed by it, they tried to make a sacrifice to Paul. That was that one we talked about the other day. Chapter 15. Peter and Paul. Now, this is the council at Jerusalem. So you wouldn't really expect to find mighty works in the council of Jerusalem. They're having a church business meeting. You don't expect really mighty works. But Peter and Paul both testify of mighty works during that meeting. And the Holy Ghost gives them a decision. Says this seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. The Holy Ghost aided them in a decision. So we see the supernatural wisdom of God taking place in that meeting in Acts 15. Acts 16, Paul casts the devil out of a little girl. Well, a girl. Don't know if she was little, but he cast the devil out of a girl that was following him around. And he finally got tired of it and said, come out of her. Same situation. He wound up in jail for that. And the same situation, he was in jail, and he begins to sing praises, and all of a sudden an earthquake shakes the chains off their arms. Now, that's quite an earthquake that'll shake chains off somebody, but they were all free, and they were all sitting there waiting on the Philippian jailer to show up and ask, what must I do to be saved? And that all took place in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 17 is one of the chapters that we do not see a mighty miracle in. Paul is driven out of Thessalonica. Paul is driven out of Berea by the Thessalonians. They hated him so bad they were willing to travel to go run him out of another town. You're not going to preach in our town, and you're not going to preach in theirs either. And he winds up going to Athens, where he was laughed at in Athens. He was ridiculed because of believing in a resurrection. They're like, yeah, whatever. But at the same time, there were several other people saved. So that chapter doesn't really lend itself to miracles, but nevertheless, that one doesn't have a miracle in it. Verse 8, chapter 18, Paul has a vision of Jesus. That's pretty amazing. We hear people have visions of Jesus every now and then. I think some of them make it up. But Paul had them on a regular occasion. That was normal for Paul. It was not, if I had a vision of Jesus in the night, Jesus was standing beside my bed and said, Brother Billy, I'm going to be with you. Just relax. I don't know how I would respond. Paul said, oh, hi, it's you again. It was normal. This happened for Paul on a regular occasion. It was normal, ordinary. Verse 19, chapter 19, revival hits Ephesus. 12 people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Handkerchiefs and aprons are taken from Paul, and when they get to the person that's sick, the sick person is healed. Demon spirits are leaving. People are burning. The piles of witch books just must have been a huge bonfire of books burning. All of this is taking place in chapter 19. Chapter 20, Eutychus is raised from the dead. Ordinary stuff, Just go right back to preaching. Raise somebody from the dead and then come right back in and finish the sermon. That's ordinary things. Verse 20, chapter 21, Philip's daughters prophesy. And again, Agabus shows up. Agabus comes in, says what he needs to say, and he takes off again. He says, the owner of this belt is going to be in prison. And boom, what do you know? Paul said, yeah, we already know that because they've been prophesying this to me everywhere I go. You see, the word of the Lord is bringing forth from different people in different places as Paul goes around. And we don't see every piece of it. But Paul said, I've been told this before. This is not a new one, Agabus. You come with something new, man, next time, maybe. I don't know. What he actually said was not that. He says, why are you folks giving me a hard time? I'm going anyway. This prophecy is true. Yeah, we all know I'm going to jail. And they said, oh, don't go to Jerusalem. You're going to go to jail. And Paul said, no, I'm going anyway. I'm willing to die with Christ. So I'm just going to go down there and deal with it. So when they put Paul in prison, Paul didn't say, oh, woe is me. Paul said, well, here I am. I knew I was coming. I already had my reservation made. They had a bed made for me and everything because I knew I was going to be here. Then, chapter 22, Paul doesn't have a miracle take place, but he tells of one that's not recorded anywhere else. He says, while I was in the temple, I was in a trance. In a trance? Yeah, Paul went into a trance some point in time, but he only tells about it in chapter 22, the book of Acts. Paul goes into a trance, has a visitation of Jesus during that trance, and you see some red letters in that chapter, and that's what Jesus said to him while he was in a trance. Chapter 23, it's amazing, but again, Jesus visits Paul in the night. We see this several times in the book of Acts. Jesus is now visiting Paul in the night. He says, in the night, the Lord whom I serve stood by me. Well, wow. Okay? Well, we say, wow. Paul says, yeah, it sure happened. Just like that. Acts chapter 24 and 25 do not report a mighty work, but two interesting things happened. Felix trembled at the gospel, which is evidence that the Holy Spirit was there, because people don't tremble unless the Spirit convicts them. Chapter 25, Paul's accused by the Jews and appeals to Caesar. No mighty work. We wouldn't really expect one in that chapter. But chapter 26, Paul retells his testimony with all of the miracles related to it, and Agrippa almost believes. Boy, that's an almost he'll regret for all of eternity. All of eternity. Chapter 26, Paul retells his story. Chapter 27, Paul's visited by an angel. Of course, we know there's a lot of stuff happening in Acts chapter 27. That's the shipwreck and all that. But in that case, he says he was visited by an angel on the ship. In the middle of all the storm and everything, an angel shows up and visits with him. Chapter 28, Paul's bitten by a serpent, no harm. No harm comes to him. There were so many healings, it just says, and all the people were healed. It doesn't even list them all. But among those healings was Publius's father. We remember that one. Publius's father was healed on that day. So, and that's the way the book of Acts ends. We got miracle, 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 miracle. End. It just ends. It doesn't really... I mean, there's a one little last rebuke of the Jews before it goes away, but it just ends. Now, that's what the New Testament presents as normal for the Christian church. That's normal. This is what normal is. And everything that's not this is abnormal. Now, this is the thing that hit me this week. Our normal and their normal are two different normals. Our normal is absent of miracles, absent of healings, absent of visions, absent of angelic visitations, absent of visitations from Jesus himself, absent from prophetic utterance, absent from the word of the Lord. That's our normal. You understand? That's what normal Christianity in this country is all about. Normal. We go to church, we sing some songs, we give our offering, we hear the preacher preach till he's done, we say a dismissal prayer, and we go home and eat fried chicken. That is normal. To who? I'll tell you who it's normal to. It's normal to people living in Nazareth. That's who it's normal to. You see, people living in Nazareth, they have unbelief. The Bible says in Mark chapter 6 and verse 5, and he could do there no mighty work. Chapter verse 6 says, and he marveled. Because of their unbelief. You see, Jesus doesn't marvel when the leper is cleansed. Jesus doesn't marvel when the dead are raised. Jesus doesn't marvel when prophecies are accurate. Jesus does not marvel when somebody's withered hand stretches forth. Jesus doesn't marvel when somebody's hunched back straightens out. Jesus does not marvel when somebody's blinded eyes are opened. Jesus does not marvel when angels visit somebody. Jesus stands and marvels when somebody is unbelieving. Here's the point. Nazareth, normal is unbelief. Unbelief stifles the works of God. Now God can overcome it and smash the city like he did in Sodom. We know that. God can overcome unbelief and do whatever he wants to do, okay? But God chooses to operate based on faith. And so when God walks into a place and sees there's total unbelief in that area, you would normally expect an absence of miracles, an absence of power, an absence of healings, an absence of visitation, an absence of angels. But when God walks into a place and finds faith, you would expect to see miracles. You would expect to see healings. You would expect to see visitations. You would expect to see angels. You know, we read the book by John Kilpatrick, and he talked about the, I believe it was two angels that walked in, and they left, and the people were just laid out in the floor, and the angels left and went outside, left the door standing wide open all night long. Nobody came in and bothered the church. The people were laying out there on the floor. And we say, wow! And Jesus says, well, that's normal, folks. That is normal. This is normal. We go to church. we have a service and we get a little tingly and we enjoy the music and we hear a good sermon and we leave and we say, yes. And Jesus looks at that same thing where there's no miracles took place and he says, wow, what is wrong with those people? See, Jesus is normal and our normal are two different normals. I'm going to share with you some stories that we would consider abnormal. In fact, when I heard them, I had trouble believing them because they're abnormal. I heard, and I've heard two different individuals say this on two different occasions, and those individuals were not together, say that they had a church service in which the Spirit of God moved so strongly and so powerfully that people on the outside of the building thought the building was on fire, called the fire department, and the fire department showed up to put out the fire, and the preacher had to come out and explain that what they had just seen is the power of God and not a physical fire of the building. I've heard that two times. First of all, we say, really? Oh, come on now. Really? Is that really what happened? Second question we say is, when we begin to think that that's real, we say, wow. But the apostles after the upper room said, we know what that's all about. That's normal. That's not unusual. We've been there. We've seen this. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a different normal. There's a difference to the normal. We read some of Catherine Kuhlman's stories and some of the healings that have taken place, and we say, wow. But there's nothing that took place there that Peter would be amazed by. I mean, he raised the dead. Here, Dorcas, yeah, come on back. You know, here's your people. They're waiting on you. Eutychus, come on from the dead. No problem. No big deal. Normal. We think that's abnormal. What we don't realize is we are abnormal. We are the ones living in Nazareth. We're living in Nazareth. That's why we don't see the miracles. That's why we don't see the mighty works. He can do no mighty work here. Of course not. No, nobody has faith to believe it here. But I'm here to proclaim to you today, I am moving out of Nazareth. I'm moving to a new place. A new place that has different standards. A new place that has different laws. A new place that has different concepts of what's right and wrong. I'm moving to a new place. A new place where there's a different level of normal. We have different levels of normal that we can see right here. You go right into the middle of the project and you pick a kid out and his family's all drug addicts and half of them in jail. For him, that's normal. You go to another place, you got a kid that's raised by their parents and their parents are part of the church and they go to church every Sunday and they're together and they're a loving family and they eat together every night. They read their Bible before they go to bed. That's normal. You got two normals right here in the same planet. I want to have the normal that Jesus has. I don't want to have the normal that's in the slum. I don't want to have the normal that's in the prison cell. I don't want to have the normal that Nazareth had. I want the normal that Jesus wants me to have. I want the normal that the book of Acts presents as normal. I want that. I'm moving there.
Thank you for listening to Speak to Me with Billy Pruitt. If this program has ministered to you and you would like to pray with someone, or maybe you just need to talk to someone about your soul, give us a call at 407-731-9998. Again, that's 407-731-9998. You can also email us at info@speaktomeradio.com. Again, that's info@speaktomeradio.com. For a free copy of today's message, just visit our website, speaktomeradio.com. Again, thank you for listening to Speak to Me with Billy Pruitt. May the Lord bless you today and have a great day.